Hello, hello, everybody. I'm Sarah Intonato, and today's blog is all about time management, aka digging into the most common excuse I encounter in my life as a yoga teacher, which is, I don't have time for that. Today, we're talking a lot about why you do have time, how you can make the time, and how you can embrace changes in your schedule. So let's face it. Anything that encourages us to change our life dramatically is probably not the easiest thing to do. It probably requires us to step out of our comfort zone. It probably requires us to make some big lifestyle changes. It definitely requires us to step up to the plate and try something new, something we've never, ever dreamed we would try. Last week's blog discussed about how to survive a long yoga practice, something I'm a professional at. And some people like myself, who are currently working on a very long practice, whether it's Ashtanga yoga based or otherwise, are spending 2 or 2.5 hours on their mat every single day. And even if that's not you, even if you go to a 1 hour yoga class, you're going to have to learn to manage your time well. After all, that 1 hour class doesn't include getting to the studio. It doesn't include getting your kids settled in childcare or taking a shower after your practice, etc. So clearly, practice is a time commitment, and we do it because of what we get back from it. We do it because it gives us clarity, steadiness, focus, patience, tenacity, just to name a few things that we do receive from it. Practice makes us more centered in who we are, and it allows us to stay centered no matter what we're dealing with on any given day. So that's why we do it. When I tell people how much time I spend on my mat in order to cultivate all of this, the most common response is, oh, I wish I had that kind of time, which always makes me laugh. The reality is we all have 24 hours in a single day. It's not like I miraculously have more time than other people. I am a wife and a devoted parent, just like many of my students are. I have my own career, which I've built myself, and it requires my time and energy. The reality is my practice is high on my priority list, which is why I make the time to do it. And if you're trying to make the time to do something in your life, it's crucial that you defer to the reason why you're doing it. I practice because it's very much like a prescription drug for me. It gives me what I need physically and mentally so I can be better for other people and I can better serve others with my gifts. So always remember your why in regard to your yoga or spiritual practice. And this will inspire you to make the time for it. But now let's get to the fun part. How do you make the time, even when you have all the inspiration in the world? I've had students say, I don't have time for that. I'm too busy or I'm spread too thin in regard to going deeper in their yoga practice. I've also seen these same exact people move heaven and earth to watch the finale of Breaking Bad. So clearly time was not their issue. Their challenge was that they had not yet made their practice a priority. So yes, your priorities might need to shift if you want to create real change in your life, and they will certainly need to shift in order to help you make the time to do it. One easy way to help you do this, which will shed a lot of light on how to make the time, is to start by taking an inventory of your time and how you're spending it now. If you want to create more time for positive change in your life, you must have a clear picture of where you are today. To do this, take a thorough inventory of your time. Much like someone seeking a cleaner way of eating keeps a food journal to be more conscious around their eating habits, keeping a time journal will show you much insight into all the time which is quote unquote slipping away from you every day. From the moment you wake up until you go to bed, log how much time you spend during each part of your day. If your morning routine of showering and getting ready takes 30 minutes, write it down. If your commute is 15 minutes, write it down. If you go to check email on your phone and end up scoping out Instagram for 10 minutes, write it down. Note when you're eating dinner, and don't be afraid to mention if you're multitasking through it or if you're focusing on one task alone. Note how much time you spend tucking your kids at night into bed. Note how much time you spend in bed actually sleeping yourself. Not only will you see exactly how your time is being used, but you will also see what tidbits you might be able to declutter from your day. One important point to mention here is when taking an inventory of your time, do it without judgment. People often become concerned with doing things right, so to speak. So don't get overly analytical or perfectionistic about it. Just observe and see what is going on and where there might be opportunities to open up some more time for yourself. In order to go further, you must take this inventory of your time. Try not to develop resistance around doing it. When we shine a light on something, we might not like what we see. It's okay. You're doing this to learn more about yourself and improve your life as a result. So make an inventory of your schedule. Notice the patterns. Notice the times of day you do certain things. Notice the emotional things which occur around certain activities that you do. Maybe you numb yourself with food, or maybe you numb yourself with your iPhone at the end of a long day. Just be aware, don't judge it. Once you have taken that inventory, the next step is to declutter your schedule. You might find that blocking certain times in your day to schedule a group of tasks makes it easier for you to do them. For example, the average person checks their email 150 times a day, if you can believe that. You might decide that you're only going to check your email 5 times a day and put those times in your calendar so you stick to it. This will give you some freedom in terms of being able to let your phone go at different times of day, knowing you're going to check in later, and will allow you to create some space for yourself to be more mindful. You might find that you're eating at different times of day, which don't really give you a lot of energy, so you decide to change that. You might find certain activities which occur during the day, such as watching a TV show, don't serve your highest purpose anymore. That time could be used instead to get more rest, work on a project you're really passionate about, meditate, take a walk, or step up your yoga practice. For me, it's all about sleep. I'm always looking to declutter during my afternoon and evening hours, especially so I can get into my bed earlier at night. My mornings start really early, and I like it this way. I'm better when I'm an early riser and do my practice as soon as I wake up. Obviously, the earlier I can wind down in the evening, the more rested I am when I get up the next morning. Declutter what is in your way and free up time for what really serves your higher purpose. Have a cutoff time at night from all your devices. I know I've mentioned this in other blogs, and I'm going to mention it again because it's that important. I know I do not sleep well if I'm in front of a screen right before I go to bed. I just can't wind down. If you notice this too, wind down by reading a book, journaling, or taking a hot bath. The point is to unplug. Give yourself some time and space to get away from the screens, the work, and the responsibilities so that your brain can shut down. This is a crucial part of your day. It isn't an accident that I, again, speak about this all the time. The reason is that if you're tired, everything seems harder the next day. Everything seems more daunting. So make sure you're getting enough rest, especially if you're practicing early in the morning like me. But no matter what time you're doing that, don't run yourself ragged. Burning out is never worth it. My last tip, which might seem obvious, is that it can be really hard to make the time for any of these pursuits if you've lost your inspiration or if you're feeling run down. So do something for yourself that will reconnect you to your spiritual purpose and reconnect you to your why. Everyone has to reconnect at some point, so don't get down on yourself if you've lost your mojo. Instead of wasting your time getting down on yourself, spend your time seeking out an inspiring event to go to, which will reignite your fire for your yoga practice. Then put that event in your calendar and make the arrangements for it. Get excited, knowing it's going to serve your higher purpose and keep you going on your path. If you need to baby step into this idea, there are plenty of amazing webinars you can partake in from the comfort of your own home to ignite inspiration. I have one coming up, which is a phenomenal online yoga philosophy course designed to help busy people like you take their practice to the next level. And I'll put that link in the comments below in the blog to click on it if you need it. Do what you need to do to stay connected to your why. This is why I go to India for a whole month every year. This is why I visit my teacher in Brooklyn regularly. This is why I read books. This is why I can give to others without resentment. Anything that you need to do to keep yourself inspired is worth investing in. It doesn't have to cost a lot of money, though it certainly can, like a yoga retreat, and it will provide you months of inspiration in many cases. So do it. Invest in yourself. You're worth it. And if you're feeling stuck, you can always email me for some more personalized help or drop a line in the comments below. Thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful day. Namaste.